Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:24 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is April 28th, and I thought we'd kick off today with the FANG Index. It's equal weighted, so the biggest constituent right now, in fact, is Twitter, because it's had such an impressive performance over the course of the last few weeks. But what I find particularly interesting right now is that it has rebounded so impressively, but is now short-term overbought. And right in the region of the 3,500 point level, and we're starting to see that some of the major constituents are beginning to roll over, and not least the five big constituents. The original FANG companies, and which are now the mega cap companies, like Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, those have been the biggest contributors to the performance of the Nasdaq, and they occupy approximately 40% of the Nasdaq 100 in terms of their overall weighting. So when we then think about, well, what do those trends look like individually, they look a little tired. So Amazon, for example, rallied approximately 50% in the last month, and it now looks like we are due some consolidation, and we've had a couple of stabs to the downside. When we think about Google, and most of the consistency characteristics that were evident all the way through until about the middle of 2018 are gone. That doesn't mean that it has in fact really dropped any further, but a lot of the consistency that was the hallmark of Google's trend over the course of the last decade is gone. It had had this sequence of higher reaction lows. It had had the sequence of ranges one above another, and it had had these incremental moves. And that was true until about July of 2018, when it really should have rallied to 1400 and pulled back and found support around 1200. But it didn't do that. It failed to sustain the upward break, and then it came back down to test the lower side of the range. Then you had a downside key reversal, and it came down to test the lower side of the range. Then it finally did break on the upside, and then failed to sustain that. And now it's testing the region of the trend mean. And we saw some resistance coming in around that level in here today. So I don't think it's at all beyond the bounds of possibility that we could see Google come all the way back down to test this $1,000 level again. And then, is it going to hold that level would be the next big question. Facebook had bounced rather well over the last couple of weeks, and it completely closed its overextension relative to the trend mean. They're investing in India. They certainly see that as their next big growth opportunity, but some consolidation in the region of the trend mean is, I think, probably the base case at this stage. Facebook probably does have growth in front of it, but then when we think about what are the challenges for a company like that, they make all of their money from advertising. It's exactly the same for Google, and the advertising spend is probably going to be declining. Then when we think about Microsoft, there is no question that the share accelerated. It went from $100 at the beginning of 2019 to almost $200 in the space of 12 months. Excuse me, I just had to sneeze. When we then think about, well, we had this very big pullback, and we had an equally impressive rebound, but now the big question is, aren't we due some consolidation and at least a retest of the low, or at least a pullback towards the region of the trend mean? That I think those are the most likely scenarios. Having had such an enormous pullback, it is just reasonable to anticipate that there's going to be a period of consolidation, and that we could have a medium-term range which could last for anything up to a couple of years. So that's on the assumption that support continues to be found. And then we have the additional issue for Apple, that their supply chain has been impacted. Well, it hasn't pulled back to nearly the same extent as other shares, and it has got generally still this prime consistency characteristic, which is that on the occasional deep pullback, which admittedly are relatively frequent for Apple, it has tended to find support in the region of the previous peak, and that still remains the case. And as long as that remains the case, well, then it's still a medium-term bull market. So we can certainly see that some selling pressure is coming into the technology sector. But perhaps more important than that is that because it was the primary beneficiary of fund flows during the worst period of the coronavirus fears, then the ebbing of demand for these shares is being reflected in some additional demand for other sectors. So the S&P 500 has also unwound part of its overextension relative to the trend mean, in fact, most of it. And those five big shares represent 20% of the S&P 500. So the S&P is not going to be immune from some selling pressure if we get a more aggressive sell-off in the big technology sectors. But then when we look at sectors where they're not listed, like the Russell 2000, then it was in positive territory today. The Eurostoxx index was in positive territory today as well and pushed on to a new recovery high. It's exactly the same for the FTSE 100 and then also for the FTSE 250. When we think about the ASX 200 in Australia, then it hasn't been able to push on to new high ground. And Australia faces some significant challenges. Now, on the one hand, they've been highly successful in curtailing the spread of the coronavirus. That should accelerate the ability of the Australian government to ease the lockdowns. But then there are the challenges of what happens internationally, because the resources sector has pulled back aggressively. And we really need to look at that on a weekly chart for the candles. And it has rebounded, but it hasn't rebounded by nearly enough to really confirm that we have a low of more than short-term significance. We still have downward pressure on commodities generally, and most particularly in the industrial resources. So that, I think, is particularly having an effect on appetite for risk in Australia. However, there is the potential that we're going to have a significant infrastructure build when all of this plays eventually out. And the Australian dollar has bounced in a really quite dynamic manner over the course of the last month. It has now unwound almost all of its overextension, and it's looking like a failed break below the 60 cent level. When we go all the way back and look at the lows in 2008, then it was around 60 cents where the Aussie dollar found support, and now we've seen a failed break below that level. If it can hold 60 cents on a pullback, and most particularly sustain a move back above the trend mean, then that would suggest we're back in a demand-dominated environment. I do continue to think that the resources sector is likely to be among those that does best coming out of the coronavirus lockdowns because of the potential for infrastructure development globally. And that's likely to be beneficial to lots of other commodity exporters. On the other hand, the underperformance of the real estate sector is probably where Australia has got some of the biggest challenges. It had a really very steep pullback, and now so far the rebound hasn't been especially impressive. Of course, the outperformance of the Australian dollar has probably been something of a headwind for Australian equities, but in real terms, or at least in US dollar terms, then they have been a better performer than a number of the other commodity producers, and not least because of that currency differential. However, with some appetite for risk outside of US dollar assets, and most particularly from the technology sector, we are starting to see at least some demand coming through for other currencies. So the Brazilian real was in positive territory in here today, and it is very oversold in the short term. The Indian rupee has also paused in its decline, and of course those are both shown inversely. When we look then at some of the other sectors that have been deeply oversold, then I do think we are approaching a low for oil prices. And Brent crude continues to hold the $20 area. And West Texas Intermediate continues to hold the, the $10 area for West Texas Intermediate. This has been a really quite consistent downtrend, but I do think it is quite likely that with the rolling, or I guess the early rolling of the US oil funds position in the June contract, then that is likely to, I think, dampen down volatility in the oil market generally. And there is the possibility that we're going to see the U.S. oil fund folded. That, of course, would remove about 25% of all the open interest or demand for new contracts in the oil market. And it would greatly reduce volatility, but it would also rob traders of an almost guaranteed money maker, because their roll schedule has been so predictable for so long. And I think that we are likely then to see a low come in for the oil market generally. The whole coronavirus saga has resulted in a lot of volatility in the commodity complex. And because oil prices have been low, then corn and sugar have also been low, because they're used for ethanol production. And if oil bottoms, then it's likely to feed through into both of those commodities. One of the markets that has certainly perked up because of demand for vitamin C has been frozen orange juice, and it has first step above the base characteristics, and prices are still only about half where they were back at the peaks in 2016. Wheat is the one that I pay particular attention to, because food riots are something that definitely affect markets, and it has base formation characteristics. But if this is going to continue to be a sequence of higher reaction lows, then the 500 cent level will continue to hold. Now, we have had a significant contract change in rough rice. So while the July contract is still trending higher, we have a really very large step in the continuation chart because of the contract change. And I think that is more in probably more in the second contract. We've definitely seen the completion of the base formation in rough rice, and that's not least because a number of the bigger exporters like Thailand have curtailed all exports. So that is obviously a staple food for a large number of people, and it's obviously now getting more expensive. There are probably going to be isolated instances of food shortages internationally, but that's unlikely to affect the major developed markets. Now, when we then think about how is all of this playing out in the bond markets, we don't have really any evidence yet of inflationary pressures feeding through into investor sentiment. In fact, we still have deflationary pressures, and earnings estimates are being curtailed left and right, and there is the clear potential that we're going to see some compression in yields before we see expansion in yields. We're in a period of global monetary and fiscal expansion, but in order to see a true revolt by investors, there would have to be someplace else to put the money. And we just don't have the evidence yet for recovery in the stock market. Investors have shown a great willingness to look past current troubles and begin to think more about what earnings are going to be like in 2021. That is obviously encouraging from a stock market investor's perspective. But usually when investors are willing to look and start pricing in earnings further out on the calendar, it's because they don't like what they see in the short term. And that kind of expansion in valuations is not particularly sustainable. I think it is too much to ask for that we're going to see stock markets rally straight back up to the peaks they put in. I think it is much more likely we're going to get rotation in the short term, but ranging in the medium term, and that it's we're probably now in for a medium term period of markets not doing very much. We'll obviously have isolated instances of both massive outperformance and underperformance in various sectors, but on aggregate, I suspect that stock markets generally are not going to be in doing as well as they have done over the course of the last decade. And that is, I think, the base case at this stage. When we get these massive reactions against the prevailing trend, then it is more likely than not that we get a rebound, which challenges the bearish hypothesis, but then we move into a period of right-hand extension and ranging, which allows the oversold condition and then the short-term overbought conditions to be unwound. And then it's for the bulls to prove that markets can go higher from there. But in order for the market to go straight back to its peak and then improve upon it, we would have to see massive economic growth. And that is just unlikely in the short term. If that's the case, then there's unlikely to be upward pressure on bond yields in the short term. The problem, of course, is that with the massive amount of money being printed and deficits being run up globally, then the bond bubble is going to inflate to extraordinary proportions. One thing that is in equities' favor on a relative basis is the fact that there is still a wide differential between the yield on equities and that on bonds. I tend to think, however, that this is much more about the overvaluation in bonds rather than the particular undervaluation in equities. But certainly from a yield-hungry investor's perspective, what we are starting to see is demand coming through for dividend aristocrats, which did pop on the upside in here today, but also for what would be considered to be quality companies. And that has also rebounded to unwind most of the overextension relative to the trend mean. Having had such an incredible rebound, however, I think we are due at least some consolidation. And that should provide a second bite at the cherry for these well-capitalized companies that tend to increase their dividends on a regular basis. Those are the kinds of companies that generally do best in a period when there is some uncertainty and where investors are hungry for yield. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.